You are listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton. Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
Good morning. I'm Honey Shelton. I'm your host for Training Matters. Each month, we take a look at a topic that we think matters to banks, and today our topic is focusing on sales, particularly looking at how you could beef up your sales culture. Our guest today, Bill Gibson, is Vice President of CoreTrack out of Austin, Texas. Bill acts as a consultant with financial institutions, helping them determine the best ways to design and track information that is so pertinent to your success as a sales culture. Bill, are you there?
Yes, honey, I sure am. I appreciate you having us on the show and looking forward to talking with you about referrals and tracking those and taking care of opportunities as they come in and out of the banks and credit unions.
Well, wonderful. One thing that I thought would be helpful to start with is I know from prior conversations that you and I have had is that banks and credit unions are really looking for ways to keep the sales culture alive. And one of the ways they know how well it is or if it's alive is how they look at their data as well as certain ratios and so forth. If they don't have automation, what do you typically see a financial institution do? How are they trying to work around referrals and keeping up with opportunities when they aren't into automation?
Well, typically when you have not using a technology to track these opportunities when you come in, it could be done in email or a spreadsheet if you've got somebody that's doing something a little more advanced or tracking it on paper or post-it notes. What happens then is that you end up with a lot of different ways and a lot of different buckets that things can land into, and it becomes very difficult to see what is successful, what is not, what actually happened to an opportunity when it was handed off to someone else. The accountability of a lead suffers quite a bit. So when you don't have some things that can facilitate that and make that easier, you can stand for those things to fall through the cracks and just simply get missed at times. Does that make sense, honey?
Yes, it does. And of course, many times I work with a financial institution trying to help them expand their officer call program or to get buy-in from the call center or the branch on spotting opportunities or even creating some opportunities, and keeping track of all of that is, of course, complicated. I see one of the reasons that financial institutions avoid automation is they think they can't afford it. Do you see that as well, or how do you overcome that when they say, I don't think a budget could handle automation?
In scenarios like that, and we do hear that on an occasion, that they're concerned that the technology cost would be too much for them to bear. A lot of times there's opportunity cost from missed opportunity that can offset the value of a system like this, where you could track opportunities, and the fact that you missed, you know, a very large opportunity from a loan perspective, for example, and the income that could bring in for the institution, just doing those kind of things can cover the cost of a system like this, from picking up efficiencies when you don't have to have someone key something into one system and then put it into another spreadsheet, and then someone else has to prepare time to run the reports to prepare that information for summary. When you can work in one system to track both the creation of a lead and opportunity, the processing of that and the status of that, and even rewarding that behavior on both sides, both sending the opportunity and working that opportunity, and you put all those efficiencies together, package it up with the cost of an opportunity that you didn't lose, it tends to cover things from an ROI perspective. So there's a lot of different ways to try to look at it, but efficiencies and not missing opportunities are the quickest way to pick up the cost of things like that. And that usually typically helps because you're, again, you don't have people working in different silos and working multiple times to put the same information down. It's one area that everybody can work in, and you can reward that specific behavior, which is a great way to do it. That's kind of the way we try to picture it.
Well, that, of course, makes a lot of sense to me. I'm familiar with a variety of different programs, CRMs, client relationship management softwares, and of course I'm familiar with the one that CoreTrack has called Resource One. And not necessarily to turn this into a big sales pitch, but I know that I've seen clients justify the expense once they've done their due diligence or done a comparison of, you know, what does it cost if I do it this way versus what does it cost, you know, if I do it a different way. What would you say a bank or a credit union should really consider when they're looking at a CRM? How do they do a good job of due diligence when they're comparing one product to another?
Well, that's a good question. I think when you're looking at the technologies, you've got to think about, number one, even thinking about the term CRM, what do you mean by that? Are you looking to improve referral tracking? Are you looking to create the engine that actually processes those? Or maybe you've been doing referrals on a three-part piece of paper, for example, sending one copy to HR so that you can reward one copy to the person that's getting the lead and then, you know, hanging on to one so that you can follow up on it. You know, what is a CRM system to this individual institution? And when you're doing that, you start to look at the technology. Does it give you the ability to track not only customer or client information, but prospective clients? Can you put data in there from outside systems? Can you look at a summary view of all the information about a prospect or a client? All those things start to package up and then allow you to create lists, track the opportunities in one area, efficiency, workflow, all those things that you try to spot so that someone can manage the sales activity, manage pipeline, reward the results, track opportunities. Really, that you're looking for, number one, do they have a good sales culture? If they do, let's give them the tools to help implement that sales culture. If they don't, let's give them a tool that will help them step into that culture gradually if they need to, or both feet in, splash in the deep end right away if they want to. So it's about what are the specific needs of that institution? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to develop more wallet share for their existing? Are they trying to find new prospects and bring them into the institution? Those are the things that you look at when you're trying to evaluate the technologies. And do they support the issues that you're trying to solve? That's the biggest key there. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, hearing you talk about, do they have a sales culture? Where are they with it? What do they expect to see from it? Something I say often is, you know, a financial institution tracks everything that matters. And when you're talking about responding to the need, which I get these calls, I'm sure you do too, from financial institutions that say, you know, we're trying to revive our sales culture, or we want to take it up a level. I hear that a lot. I want to take it up a level, meaning that they think they have good talent at their company, and they want to be sure that that talent learns to identify or create opportunities that can expand existing relationships or bring in business that they don't have now. And I think that the accountability side of this, as well as the reward, which you mentioned, when those two pieces, the front end of what activity are you doing to try to generate sales and meet the needs your clients or prospects have, as well as how can I coach you or reward you if you're my employee or loan officer, based on the efforts that you're making. When you're missing the front or the back end, I think it's really difficult to know where you are with a sales culture, what true results you're getting. When people who don't have a CRM decide to do their due diligence and they pick Resource One or they pick some CRM and they install it, what needs to happen in your mind's eye to be sure that they can maximize the use of that tool that they've now invested in?
We'll be right back to hear what Bill has to say about that all-important question.
It's not enough to train your workforce. You also have to train the trainer. Now is the time to register for Train the Trainer Bootcamp. Whether you are brand new to the training arena or have clocked many miles in your role as a bank or credit union trainer, you will boost your ability to engage your learners and have attendees praising your training ability. Register now, interaction-training.com.
Right before the break, I asked Bill about when you're installing the CRM, how do you maximize this investment? How do you kick it off right? Bill, tell us about that.
I would say that the first thing that's probably very important is to understand what sort of behaviors you want to incent. You know, you mentioned spotting both prospective new clients as well as increasing the wallet share of products that your existing clients have. So once you figure out what it is that you're trying to do, then rewarding those employees for proactively uncovering those kind of opportunities that help the overall growth strategies of the institution, that's the single biggest thing you can do to achieve a sales culture. I mean, when you talk about a sales culture in an institution, sometimes they're gun shy even of that term. And so you want to make sure that they understand that you have growth opportunities and growth strategies of what you're trying to account for. And by telling your employees what it is you want them to try to do and giving them some incentives to do that behavior, and then rewarding them that and letting them see the progress of which they of where they are on those incentives, those are the single biggest things to help your organization move forward in a plan like that, so that you lay it out effectively. Here's what we're looking for. Here's what I'm going to do if you do it. Here's what we'll gain as an organization, and here's what you'll gain individually, and then show them that progress both at the institution level and at the individual level.
Well, I think that sums it up very well. What's in it for me if I'm the financial institution and I take it up a notch, whether I call that a sales culture or an increased focus of growth? What's in it for the institution? What's in it for the employee, the loan officer, the business development people who traditionally may have had a mindset of, as a community bank or a community credit union, the last thing I want to become is an employee of a big box bank that says, here's the quota, you don't meet it, you're going to lose your job. So I think there's fear in the community bank, both from ownership as well as the staff, that when you start talking about a sales culture or focusing on referrals, that we might take this to the far degree of we've got a whiteboard in the back room and we're marking how many home equity loans or how many loan referrals or mortgage prospects we've come up with. And I think one of the things you and I have always had in common is that the client we best help, me on the sales training side and the overall plan for growth, and you on giving people options about tools and even customizing that tool. For now we can track what we're doing, we can become intentional. We can add credibility to what the investment of training or personnel, how that's paying off for us. That in the community bank, you know, what we really are trying to do is to be sure we service the customer and the community well. Do you get some of that feedback as well, that the community-minded financial institution worries that they'll take this too far and it'll end up with all this pressure around if you don't make your incentive, if you don't make your quota, versus just taking better care of the customer. Do you run into that?
Yeah, honey, as a matter of fact, we do. There's a fear of accountability in a system like this. When you start putting really trackable options in so that, you know, if I give you a post-it note with an opportunity on it and it blows away, you can say, well, it blew away, I didn't see it, or I never got it. So there's really no way to follow up with what happened with that. You put a system like this in place, it's not about can I start counting on you and watching to see if you're doing your job, because you're going to do your job, but it's understanding that serving and taking care of a customer is about not wasting their time and giving them the right products and services that they want to use or that they need to use, and doing it at the right time and having something there that can help you with information about your customer and with information about their needs and their things that they're going through. Those are the kind of things that the frontline employees and the account managers are looking to try to help those customers before they even get to a problem for that customer. So the accountability side of it, again, although it is a fear, you can relay that by just letting people know that here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to improve our service to our clients. We're trying to make sure we grow as an institution. And you'd be surprised how much opportunity you can even create out of a service case in many times. So the idea is to look for opportunity and to teach people that looking for opportunity is not about a metric and a track and those kind of things, and to worry about that accountability, but watch for opportunity, identify it, and then reward them when they find that opportunity. And that seems to help in those cases by realizing that they can eliminate some of the duplication of efforts and make their life and their customer's life easier. And in the end run, everybody's a lot happier. That's kind of what we shoot for. Does that kind of fall along the lines of what you're looking for?
Oh, absolutely. And you know one thing, this is sort of a sticky issue, but one that I would like to for you and I to share some discussion on. In what I call a really hot market where there's a lot of competition between financial institutions and lots of growth going on, one thing that can happen is you have what's called a rainmaker or someone at your company that is doing a dynamo job of helping the company grow. Well, if that's happening, that rainmaker is on the radar of your competition, which means that your rainmaker could get a phone call and be persuaded to move from bank A to bank B. And when that happens and you don't have this intelligence of a CRM that's saying, here's who I've touched, here's what I've pitched, here's what's in the pipeline, this is what I closed, this is what we lost. If you don't have that documentation somewhere or that history, that intelligence, when that rainmaker goes, there goes all that intelligence. So sometimes when I've been part of the team at a financial institution that's looking for justification to be more formal, if you will, about this approach of taking a plan for how we're going to grow and put the right tools, the right talent in place, that scenario I just described, I think is often one that needs to be discussed when a company's trying to decide, is this something we ought to be doing? Should we not only have a plan like we have our strategic plan, but we have a plan for fulfilling the growth around here and taking care of our customers? Because you mentioned a service opportunity that, you know, when people call and they're upset or they walk in or they have a concern, we can solve that problem and also at the same time maybe show them a product or a method that would prevent the problem from ever reoccurring. If that intelligence isn't collected to where it's accessible, then when talent leaves or someone goes on a leave of absence for 6 weeks to have a baby, then all that intelligence can only be accessed if you can get back to the servicing person on an account. So I really like to stress that point, that I think there's some markets this wouldn't be as significant as it would be the market I live in Houston, where there's cranes in the sky again and growth going on everywhere. So, of course, a bank or a credit union would want to expand in a time like we're having right now. If you expand your locations and you go and recruit talent, all that makes sense, unless you're the bank that's losing that talent. I've seen that turn out to be extremely valuable, where a CRM is in place and someone leaves, or God forbid a tragedy occurs that their health impairs them from working. Somebody can move in with that intelligence and go right into servicing those customers. So I know that has to come up in conversation on your side too, doesn't it, Bill? Where are you going to have all this information if it's not centralized and documented?
We're going to take a fast break, and when we come back, I know that you'll enjoy hearing what Bill has to say about protecting all that internal intelligence that you want to have at your fingertips in the event of. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to take a deeper dive into proving your worth as a trainer? Register now for Train the Trainer Bootcamp and take the first step toward becoming a certified bank training professional. Check us out on the web, interaction-training.com, and you'll be on your way to learning how to create and present training that results in learning. Interaction-training.com.
All right, we're back with Bill, and we're going to pick up where we left off.
Yeah, you're right. It does come up quite a bit, and you'll hear the term book of business used quite often, where, you know, when you hire talent or you have talent, and they are successful because they know people in the area and the community and have done a great job, that if you're not giving them the proper tools, if someone comes along with potentially an opportunity where they have better tools at their hands, that could be one way to lure them away. The other part about that is, if they do leave, you don't want the business walking out the door with them. And so, as you so aptly put it, if you're not keeping the intelligence in a place where it's easily accessible by everyone, and you even give, for example, transfer of an activity, so that, let's just say I'm working an area and I've got to be out for, you know, I've been in a bad car accident and I've got to work somewhere for, I can't work for a couple of months. Well, all my opportunities that I've been working need to be shifted over to someone else. So the technology that you look at looks for ways to gather that information and be able to transfer over to another individual without too much of a hard push to do that. And those are the things that are key when you're trying to maintain your business at your institution and not be subject to the specifics of, as you said, a rainmaker, the person that's making all that business happen. So having that information in one area is very important. Having it accessible by others, whether it's a long-term or short-term access to that information or that person, being able to answer the questions, ultimately taking care of the customer and handling their service at the point of contact is what you want to try to do. And the only way to do that is to have the information readily available and not stuck in a person's mind or in their Rolodex or in their notebook as they walk around, per se. That makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Bill, I think we've covered a lot of ground, and I know this information is going to be useful to others. I want to thank you for your time, and we will no doubt have opportunities to work together to help solve problems for banks and credit unions. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, honey. We appreciate all that you do, and enjoy working with you, and look forward to next conversations ongoing in the future.
Sounds great. Thanks, Bill.
You won't want to miss next month's episode of Training Matters. Our featured guest will be Cindy Rowan. Cindy's the owner of Performance Management Solutions and has an in-depth amount of knowledge and experience when it comes to advising banks and credit unions on how to assess and meet the training needs. So I'll look forward to spending time with you next month as we both enjoy what Cindy has to say about assessing and meeting your training needs. See you then.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.